Thank you, Mr. Ashcraft. It doesn't seem like 30 January. It's around 70 degrees out. That's good. That's one of the blessings we have living here in South Texas. Talking of which, a price was agreed on, and two men shook hands. So the deal was done. This scenario is etched in my memory from my childhood. My father would buy land or livestock, and the business table was behind a box of a pickup truck. That was where the negotiating came from. But there were a word was given, a price was said, whether it was, doesn't matter what it was about, but if that person, no money was exchanged at that time, but their word was binding. Whatever that was agreed on, was agreed on. That man's word was part of who he was. Keeping your word was part of who you were. Your word bonded you to the first agreed price. Even though somebody else might come later on and ask and give you a better price, you were bonded by the first one you gave to that person. I've heard the statement, if I told you that, then that's what I meant. The title of my sermonette, brethren, is Keeping Your Word. Us as Christians, it should be second nature, but it's always good to remind us. It's a reminder to us that God is going to keep His word to set up His kingdom. So us as Christians, it should be second nature to us. Your word defines who you are as a person. Your word is part of what you are made of. Your word is an integral part of your moral fabric. Keeping your word defines you, not only as a person, but as a Christian, a man or a woman of substance. It's better than any money that you can put, or better than any money that you can have. That's what you are made of. A person that many of us know who talks a lot really doesn't have much to say. It has to be from us, brethren. And people that talk a lot and really don't bind anything, they just tell you something because just to tell you something, their words are empty. Let's go to Proverbs 3:13. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 13. 13 through 14. Let's go through here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. And it says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she, talking about wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. So again, it's better than any money that you can make, or better than any money that you possess or material things. If you have your word, that's part of who you are. If you don't have that, brethren, you have nothing. Sure, a person can be educated, talented, and even have a talent for speaking. But if that speaking doesn't have any binding, it means nothing. Seems like the basic trend of today is the goal for worldly ambitions, worldly goals, material things, and not really focusing on their personal character improvement. Herbert Hoover, back in 1928, his campaign speech, I promised a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. 8 months later, the stock markets crashed. Many leaders of today rarely keep their campaign promises. It's time for change. We've heard that, right? And if they do, it's because it's to benefit them directly. When you promise something and do not keep it, it's a lie. But people apparently still do and don't even, bat an eye. And many of them get away with it. You say, man, that guy got away with it. No, he didn't. Without any consequences. Those who lie and still keep in their word better have a good memory. I mean, all of us know that if you don't have a good memory, you're a liar. Things like this happens. You know, I was a supervisor, and I heard plenty of stories why they didn't come into work or why they're coming in late. Here's a scenario. Supervisor asked the employee why he came late to work. Well, he said, I had to take my wife to work. Supervisor says, wait a minute. He said, I thought you got a divorce 2-3 days ago. That's why you need a day off and you came in late that day. Yeah, but she still lives with me. And you say, what? And so the more complex it gets, and then he said, how did she get back home then? Oh, she used her mom's car. So, there's a period of examples that I can go through, and it was to a point that I even kept a log. And I said, no, you already used that excuse already. Your wife had a baby a month ago, and I don't think she's going to have one again. Or your grandmother died already once. So. But some people have the gift of gab to a point that they tend to turn everything around. And you find out you're so, confused at what they were saying. And it comes out that you're at fault. But it's part of that constant rotation of lies and trying to cover up themselves instead of committing to something, to what they are, and sticking to it. It turns out to be an act, a circus act. And some people have a knack for it. Some used car salesmen have it. Some lawyers have it. Some contractors have it. They have no moral compass, no real feeling on who they hurt. They carry with them that certain arrogance. That's what they call a swagger. Let's go to 28th chapter of Proverbs, just a couple of chapters down. 28th chapter of Proverbs and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. He says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. You rely God on his word for wisdom, brethren, you'll walk the straight line. I'm not saying that it's going to be free from trials. I'm saying that you're going to be able to walk with integrity. Make decisions and commitments based on what is right. Fair and simple. Based on God's ungodly principles. Even if it means you give up something. Yes. At times when we do keep our word, we give up something. We to stay committed with that person or those individuals. A lot of people give up their time, which is very important. Some people give up maybe a good deal or maybe a basketball game or anything else, whatever it can be, just to keep a commitment what they did to a friend or an associate or to their family members. When I played high school football, my dad came once to see me play. But my dad, to my mom, he's going to see me play. My dad was a small border town doctor in Mexico. He owned his own clinic. He's one of those doctors that you heard of that made house calls. He specialized in surgery, but the people that he took care of were mainly of the farm and ranch community. The typical treatments he did was snake bites or people who got gored or kicked on or typical livestock accidents. He delivered plenty of babies. And one typical one that he did was on a cattle truck in the middle of the desert. But that was my dad. But he didn't have much time. It was typical for him to say, hey, call in, say, Mrs. So-and-so is in labor, and I'm not going to be coming home for a while. But I could, that day, or that night, I saw a man with a white shirt and a black tie. That was my dad's trademark clothes. And he was right there on the 50-yard line. Needless to say, I played my best game. He gave up something to come see him, and as many of us have and will be doing in the future. We give up time. And this world of spineless imitation, empty promises, and not with a non-concerning attitude. Oh, so-and-so didn't come today. Oh, well. Yeah, but he said he was going to come. Well, my brother, who's married to a Russian, my younger brother, when she first came, and they were newlyweds to the States, they had a get-together at a neighborhood get-together, neighborhood watch get-together. And she befriended one of the ladies there, and she said, and one of their parting words was saying, oh, she said, let's see if we can get together, go to a restaurant, go out to eat somewhere. I said, oh, yeah. And the lady said, I'll call you. Well, this is before cell phones. My sister-in-law was vigilant towards the phone, you know. And after a couple of days, my brother asked her, why are you so, you know, attentive towards the phone? Well, so-and-so said she was going to call me. And he said, my brother said, no, that's just hearsay. That's what people say around here, just as a parting. And she said, you mean to me she lied? And I said, yeah. So that was one of the things that my sister-in-law had to get accustomed to, was the lying that people. King Solomon said, it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Ecclesiastes 5:5. In the business world, and especially in the government, there's a yearning for people with character, believe it or not, brother. People who keep their word. See, in the business and government model, there's a certain level of professionalism you must adhere to. Not keeping your word is the first sign of failure. You go to any business or particular branch of the government that is in disarray, and you will find that particular character flaw riddled throughout the ranks of that organization. One more let's go to James, Brent. One more parting shot. James chapter 5, verse 12. That way I can call James and tell him I mentioned you today. James chapter 5, verse 12. Jesus' half-brother said, above all, brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Or you will be condemned. In other words, brethren, talk straight. Mean what you say and say what you mean. And above all, fear God and keep his commandments.